How long have you been mayor?
A little over 6 years. I was elected in 2007.
What do you think is the biggest accomplishment for Rushville during that time?
You know, I've thought a lot about it, and there's different ways of looking at it, but I think probably what I would consider to be the biggest accomplishment is trying to help build up the social capital of the community by increasing the relationships or improving and improving the relationships between the municipal authorities, the council and the mayor and the clerk, and citizens through the creation of citizen-based groups. We have two rather significant community development groups that will be sustained for years. And one began its focus on housing, the Rushville Housing Committee, and they're now transitioning into economic development. They're going to be participating in a mapping program through the Institute for Rural Affairs this fall. And you have very conscientious people who really do care about improving the community's social capital through building relationships and providing opportunities for people. I was just at a meeting with them this morning, and you know that group helped to bring $300,000 in to help the owner, low-income homeowners repair their homes and work. And then they also partnered with the Area Agency on Aging in Adams County to get a $2.5 million HUD grant to build supportive housing for low-income seniors. And they address some real needs that have gone unmet for years. Then there's also the Exercise Rushville group, that committee that obviously I've never really participated in, but I helped get it started. And it's a health and wellness program, health and wellness and exercise program. And I think they're in their fifth year now. And again, that was all, but it all started with help from the Institute for Rural Affairs. And that was through a health grant. But what it shows is that you can – building roads, that's a valuable asset. It's important. Improving water and sewer, that's important. But what it really shows is that the most important thing that you can do, especially in a rural community, is to increase the social capital of a community, because there are people, even in a small town, who get left out or forgotten or missed. And it's usually people who are on the lower end of the socioeconomic spectrum. And growing up in Rushville, I can remember people saying, well, the only people ever get any attention are business owners because they bring tax money in. And that's true. You have to address their needs also. But with all the burdens that exist for all communities, I think it's essential that rural community leadership pay closer attention to low-income residents, because we live in an area that the economy of scale plays a big role in labor and in employment and in quality of life. And I think so we have to address that. It's our responsibility to address that. And I think that our biggest accomplishment is helping people who may not have had an opportunity otherwise. I mean, yeah, we spent $2.5 million to redo downtown, and that's a great thing. It's beautiful, and we get a lot of compliments on it. But the direct impact is what's the most important accomplishment, and that's been the work that we've done with low-income families.
The rebuilding of the downtown, do you think that also helps build your social capital?
It does. And what I've discovered is that now it's amazing what a sidewalk will do. And I use that analogy with John Griedel's economics class that came down to Rushville earlier this week. It increases the accessibility to the area that sidewalk is built. So when we redid the square in Central Park, we added a sidewalk to that perimeters the Central Park. People will spend their lunch hours just walking. They come into the park, sit and have lunch. Kids come in. This is the amazing thing. Kids come in, and they always have, but now they come in, they'll play catch. Kids will toss football around, frisbee, baseball. It's almost like it's a public front yard for kids who come uptown, which is really that is really gratifying because it shows that this park is being utilized by not just patrons of downtown businesses, but kids feel welcome to come in. So it does absolutely help the social capital.
You have an immigrant population in Rushville that I don't think we would have seen as recently as 10 years ago.
Right.
How has that changed the community?
It changes every day, really. When we first started seeing African immigrants come to Rushville, and folks kind of trickled in, but then they became more comfortable living in Rushville. You know, they came to Rushville as a result of employment opportunities at Cargill and Beardstown. There were housing issues in Beardstown, I think, that created a need for folks to come housing needs in Beardstown that created a need for people to come to Rushville. And instead of the residents of the city putting up barricades and roadblocks to keep African and French speaking folks from being included in what we do, there were sectors of the community who actually reached out. The faith community helped out tremendously with support, personal support, and then also in helping with creating ESL labs. The Rotary Club played a huge part in that by securing a grant to put Rosetta Stone software, and it was housed in the Presbyterian Church, so the French-speaking Africans could come in and start learning to learn to speak English. And then again, I'm going back and I'm pitching the Institute for Rural Affairs again. But we had a Peace Corps fellow who helped us set up an immigration policy manual to help guide folks through the immigration process in case they wanted to come in and find out, how to apply for a green card, how to apply to bring family members to the United States, and to direct them to resources that aren't locally available, through the Immigration Project up in Bloomington. And so all in all, I mean, even the cultural events with Africa Day, we've been very open to the African community to the point now where we help locate technical assistance for them, for the entrepreneurs. We have an African-owned grocery store in Rushville. And sadly, I mean, we lose We lose some of our African population from time to time, but it's for a good reason because they've grown and they move on to better opportunities in other areas so it kind of it's sort of a mixed blessing in a way. But I personally don't want to see them having to work at Cargill their entire lives. These ladies and gentlemen are typically fairly well educated and talented, and they need to be able to use those talents somewhere. And if it's not in Rushville, it's certainly going to help them relocate somewhere.
Was it a surprise to see the African community starting to come in a few years ago?
Yeah, you know what? I was an alderman, and I'm almost ashamed to tell this story, but it's a reality. I was driving through Rushville on Sunday afternoon, and I was actually working. I was driving from Peoria to Quincy. And so I was coming through Rushville early on Sunday afternoon, and it was in the spring, and I saw and there's no real tactful way of putting this, but I saw this African gentleman sitting with this blonde-haired girl on a bench in Central Park, and I was almost gobsmacked because you would never have seen that in Rushville. And the first thought in my mind was, how does this affect what's the social impact of this? What do people think? Because it's something that you just wouldn't expect to see in Rushville. And this isn't a reflection of bias as much as it is just not being familiar. And thinking back on that day, it's sort of representative of how things have progressed. The only incident was what was being conjured in my mind. You know, kids have an incredible gift of acceptance and lack of prejudice generally, and so here I am thinking that I'm fairly open-minded and reasonable, and the first thing in my mind is, my God, what's going to happen when Daddy sees this? Nothing. It worked out, and it should. I mean, it just should. There's no reason to think that it wouldn't, or that it shouldn't. So, all in all, I think it's been a great experience for everybody. Native Rushville residents and newcomers alike.
Has that created some of the demand for the housing committee? Has it created a greater demand for housing in Rushville?
It has, and you know, Rushville has is very deficient in affordable housing. And I was just having this conversation with a landlord yesterday. People buy up homes and trailers thinking, wow, there's not going to be a better job in the world than to be my own businessman and have rental property. But what happens is these properties get purchased for the least amount of money that they have to put that they can put into them. Not 100%, but typically they get it for whatever they can get it for. Make it so that somebody can live there, but the rent isn't enough to sustain the maintenance that's needed down the road after they've owned that property for a while. So what happens is these properties then fall into a state of disrepair, and they're just not suitable for living to live in, and so then when somebody who moves to the United States starts a a job at Cargill looking for an affordable place to live. It doesn't exist. A clean, decent place to live doesn't always exist. And the ones that do exist are usually occupied for a long time. So we've had people come in and build apartments. And we don't have a building code enforcement office in Rushville. And so the quality of construction in some of those apartment buildings that have been built is questionable. I mean, I don't know anything about building a house, but I can usually tell if something's not safe to live in. And I do question whether some of these new constructions are safe. And so we're addressing that not just with the housing committee, but the city of Rushville now is we're starting the zoning and land use ordinances. I mean we've begun quantifying businesses and mapping that and starting that mapping process so that we can begin create a zoning map and then develop that ordinance and then move into the code enforcement aspect that should come along with zoning as well so that property maintenance codes are adhered to and rental properties I see at some point will be registered so we can have inspections to ensure that they're safe and they meet building standards and life and safety standards.
What's been the biggest challenge during your time as mayor?
I'm not always the best practitioner, but I really do believe that it's our responsibility as elected leaders that we hold ourselves accountable and the people that represent us on boards and committees accountable to the public trust. And one of those trusts is how we conduct ourselves professionally, with tolerance and understanding, and professionalism. And the toughest part about being mayor has been in how I can communicate that and practice that. Or put it into practice. Because as time progresses and evolves and our population changes and people are more exposed to the externalities of the world through the internet, through life, through education, expectations of the community from the citizenry changes. And the days of old boy clubs and pushing people out of the way so the people in power with the political capital in the community can have their way, that to me is the biggest challenge because those days of bullying and being the people pushing to have your own way, those days have got to come to a stop because especially in a rural community where resources and assets are limited, the most important asset that we have are the people. And if you run off well-meaning people who want to contribute and see a community do well, then there's nothing left. You can have all the new roads and all the new sidewalks and a beautiful square, but if you don't have the people there who want to support it, then it's a waste of money. And so that's been a big challenge. And the other thing that's been a challenge is that in having those expectations, the city leadership, elected officials, we have to protect the assets that we have and create an understanding that, you know, yes, we want public input. We need public input. We need your help. And Rushville's probably the most giving community of any place I've ever seen. But yet we still have – we end up managing that. And it's kind of – I just made this comment this morning. People want local government to stay the heck out of their business until they want the city to help support them financially. And I don't have a problem with making those supports, but it has to come with an understanding that we bear the responsibility in the end of ensuring that our assets are maintained and cared for. So we will work with anybody, but it has to be with the understanding that if it's a city entity, it's a city asset, we have to manage it for everyone, not just the people who write the checks or the givers. And I'm grateful for everything, for all of it. But we have to manage that for everyone because it's a public access point, whether it's a swimming pool or a park or the street shed or a sidewalk or a street. We have to manage that because we have to ensure that it exists for everyone for a very long period of time. And that's a real challenge.
You're leaving a midterm. Is there any unfinished business?
It's all over the place. But, yeah, the things that just can't be finished right now while I'm still here, is the mapping program that the housing committee's doing, ensuring that zoning and code enforcement gets put into place. I sure would have liked to have had a little more time to start working on Skyrush Park. And help with more events with our African population, and really just to be able to finish out the term, but can't be done.
The detention facility that sits out there on the edge of town, has that been good or bad for indifferent for the city?
I think it's been good. I mean, it's certainly brought in jobs. I'll tell you where it's really benefited the community, I think, is, and we'll know more later this year. The per capita income in the community has increased as a result of these better paying jobs, which translates into a higher median household income. So the direct benefit to the city of Rushville is that it increases the amount of income tax that the city receives in order to support the services we provide. The downside to having that facility, you know, I don't have any personal issues with it. I don't really have any professional issues with it. I don't know that it hasn't created, you know, I don't know that it's really created any additional burdens to the city or to our citizens. I think all in all, it's been a tremendous benefit. And we've seen some of those direct benefits.
When is your last day as mayor?
Well, it'll be the 31st of August. I submit my, and I haven't submitted my written resignation. I'll do that Monday night. I had planned on it being the 31st of October, but it'll be my last meeting will be Monday night, and it'll all come to an end on the 31st. But I'll be up in Ames starting my PhD on the 26th. So after the 25th, I probably won't be back in Rushville.
And is that the reason for you leaving, is to pursue your PhD?
Well, that's part of it. My my wife, who's been a my wife works now for the Iowa Department on Aging as a community development manager. And she took that job in March, started in April. And so she's been living up in Des Moines since April. And then it was a matter of getting a house sold and trying to wrap things up and meet my and also my real job, you know, as a community organizer, which ended on June 30th. And so now it's just so then I've spent the past month and a half just tying up loose ends with the city, going back and forth to Des Moines, helping get things up and running in at our new home, so it's got to be. Ruth has been involved with providing services for seniors, especially on the Medicaid side of that business for 15 to 20 years. And she worked in the Bureau of Senior Services at West Virginia University, then went to work in Springfield, later as a executive director for a disabilities advocacy group. And so when this opportunity came up, it was certainly something that she had to take full advantage of, and so we made started making the transition to Des Moines, and then thought, well, this might be a good opportunity for me to go ahead and start the PhD.
All right. You've been mayor 6 years. Mm-hmm. How long were you on the city council before that?
4 years.
And how long have you lived in Rushville?
I was born and raised there. Went to college, moved away in 85 to Jeff City, Missouri, then to Memphis, then back to Rushville for a short period of time to be the sales manager for a company in Jacksonville. Then we sold the company and then moved to Tulsa and then moved back in 96. And I've been there since.
Okay.
So it's going to be tough to leave, but it's for all the right reasons, so it's funny. It's been a tough month, you know, saying goodbyes. But there's really a lot of good people. And it's amazing, you know, when you're the mayor, you always hear the worst first. And it's funny because now that people know that I'm leaving, people have been really nice. So, you know, but it's nice to know that people care.
Well, I appreciate you coming in and doing this, and good luck.
Thanks, I appreciate it. You know, I've always enjoyed coming up here. I've always enjoyed talking to you on the phone, and I'll miss this. But thanks for having me.
Who's going to replace you as mayor? Do we know yet?
We don't know. Matter of fact, part of my resignation is what'll happen. I stated it in the I'll state it in the resignation is that the city will fill the position in accordance to the Illinois Code, they will elect a member from the council.
The city council will choose someone from within the council.
Right, and the way that it works is that if the way that I understand that it works is that if a council member, whoever's chosen, chooses not to accept it, then it can be opened up to any qualified electorate within the corporate limits. So, but my guess is that they'll successfully fill that position from inside the council.
All right. Thanks again. Good luck.
Thanks, Rich.